Nature of the Mind. Once upon a time, there was a lioness. She died during the course of giving birth to her cub. A small girl who had never seen a cub happened to be in the woods at the same time. She picked up the cub and brought it home. The cub was fed goat's milk and was made to live with other goats. They all grew up together. The lioness started to feed on grass, like the other goats, and was treated no differently. Living like the cattle, it forgot its true nature. One day, while grazing along with the herd, the lion got separated and found itself lost in the shadows of the jungle. As he attempted to navigate his way back, he went even deeper in the woods. He felt scared in the loneliness and unfamiliar territory. Just then, he saw a wolf from a distance. The lion, unaware of his own ferocity, and out of ignorance, starting running out for life. However, much to his surprise, all the other animals starting running away when they saw him approaching. The panting lion stopped to make sense of what just happened. An eerie feeling took over him. There was more to it than what met the eye. The lion began pondering over the incident and decided to explore the matter further. He moved around a little more freely and a little less scared. Wherever he went, he saw the more reactions. All the animals would start scrambling. It went on like this before he saw a group of lions feeding on a freshly killed bull's gore. A latent desire to partake of the meat aroused in him. His surprise elevated to the level of shock, as if automatically he felt a strong desire to make his own lunch. Driven by his urge, he hunted down a calf. The joy he discovered in the hunting and feeding on the game far exceeded any other he had ever experienced. Moreover, an innate sense of fearlessness emerged. He felt the jungle was his home, and that no one around could dare to kill him. In no time, from a meek grass-feeding goat, he became the king of the jungle. You are a lion as well. Your intrinsic nature is bliss and fearlessness. But the lion in you has started behaving like a goat. This is called conditioning. From the moment we are brought up, we are fed with beliefs and information about ourselves and others. We are constantly made aware of our shortcomings. Somehow, we are made to believe that in order to be happy, we have to constantly strive for something else. We have to do better. We have to be like someone else. We have been conditioned, inadvertently or otherwise, by the society and other evolutionary forces. Our conditioned soul is a product of the collective intelligence of the world. We, as individuals, however, are a product of our karma and our desires. This conditioning comes to us in the form of religious, social, familial, and moral values. Since eons, preceding generations have accepted such standards, mostly unquestioningly, passing them on to successive ones. Our conditioning makes us feel we are inadequate, lacking something, as if we must constantly improve and strive for something. As a result, a perfectly beautiful life starts to feel inadequate, as we start seeking external affirmations and approvals. You would think that your dress is amazing, or that you've got good grades, or that you sang really well. But if your peers and loved ones feel differently, you'd suddenly feel deflated like a balloon. Somehow, their disagreement would matter to you. Somewhere, you would feel that our self-assessment is not as valuable as others' approval of you. This starts pretty early on during our childhood, when we are constantly compared and ranked against others. At school, in college, and then at work, some third person is telling us what to or what not to do. This leads to a mind that is eternally tossed between happiness and suffering, between pleasure and pain. The more we try to gel with the world outside and please others, somehow believing that others' acceptance of us is a validation of our own potential, the more we start to distance from our true nature. The transmission of signal by our soul becomes weaker and weaker as we continue to move away from our true self. Our real nature, increasingly, the lion starts to think, believe, and behave like a goat. The world you see externally is merely a projection of the world within you. In fact, the world outside is an exact replica of the world within you. Your inner world is a product of your thoughts. Due to your forgotten nature, your inner world constantly gets affected by the world outside. If the inner world is in turmoil, the outer world appears just as listless and doomed. This fluctuation of emotions is a constant affair in an ordinary mind. Man's mind, said Confucius, is more treacherous than mountains and rivers, and more difficult to know than the sky. For with the sky you know what to expect in respect of the coming spring, summer, autumn and winter, and the alternation of day and night. It needn't be this way, though, for behind every feeling and experience there is the thought. Absence of thoughts, however, does not lead to absence of feelings. On the contrary, a still mind is like the tranquil lake, it's like the calm ocean, an absolute beauty. For thoughts are the ripples in the lake. Emotions are the waves in the ocean of mind. They remain inseparable, though waves from ocean. You look at the world and you see the parts. You understand the parts and you grasp the whole. If you get a grip on the anatomy, construction and nature of thought, you'll instantly understand all that there is to understand about the mind. You will immediately realize why and how meditation helps you harness your mind, leading to inner peace and bliss. Maitreya, world-honored one, how does the cultivation of meditation produce great insight? Buddha, good son, when they, aspirants, become aware of six supports, they attain insight into the nature of thought. The first is that they know well the arising of thought. The second is that they know well the abiding of thought. The third is that they know well the departure of thought. The fourth is that they know well the increasing of thought. The fifth is that they know well the diminution of thought. The sixth is that they know well the methods. They know well the arising of thought. They know well the arising of thought, for they truly know the differences that engender thought in its 16 activities. And this is what is meant by knowing well the arising of thought.